God's Word, faithfully preached, is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives, delivering them from the shackles of sin, the flesh, and the world, and transforming them into useful vessels through whom Jesus can pour out His blessings. Living Seed invites you to a feast of the truth as God's servant brings to us the Word of Life.
People regard, or what they think as an achievement, has to do with eating and drinking. Even when God saw that the people had torn themselves naked, that they have made themselves naked, the glory of God has departed from them, yet in the physical, they were eating, they were drinking, they were dancing, they will rise up and they will play. And all over, right from the time that man fell and he lost the glory of God, that has been the pattern. And so the first thing we want to note here is that the Lord Jesus Christ was redefining what the kingdom of God is all about and what kind of exploits are we supposed to prepare ourselves to do when we understand the kingdom. He said, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So first and foremost, the kingdom of God, the Bible says, has to do with righteousness, has to do with peace, and has to do with joy that comes in the Holy Spirit. So tonight, let me take one little bit of that as we now study. That the kingdom of God is righteousness. Righteousness. The kingdom of God has to do with right standing with God. The kingdom of God has to do with having a right relationship, a relationship that is congruent with God and with God's will. That if a man is found to be in the kingdom of God, the first thing that will be evident in that man's life will be righteousness. And there will be peace. Peace. Peace with God. Peace with men everywhere. Peace within his own life. And when the kingdom of God begins to be well established in a man's life, you see a man that is at peace within himself. It's a man that is at peace with God. And is a man that lives a peaceable life among men. And then the Bible talks about joy in the Holy Ghost. You'll be surprised that he didn't use the word happiness. The reason is because happiness is a superficial, emotional outburst that is occasioned by what has happened, is occasioned by the environment. But when a man has come to experience what the kingdom of God is, there is joy in the Holy Spirit. And you read all over scripture, it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You read scripture, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, these three parameters, they characterize what the kingdom of God is. But I would have loved to stop there. But when you see verse 18, it says, for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. That again now defines what we will call kingdom exploits. It will define for us what will be the parameters of kingdom exploit. And look at how the Word of God put it now. He who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and is approved of men. The implication is that any exploit or any activity, anything that anyone could be doing, he can even be doing it in the name of Jesus, but if he does not carry these three-dimensional parameters, he is not serving Christ in an acceptable manner to God, and it's not going to be approved eventually. So any exploit or anything, any activity that is not done in righteousness, that does not come out of peace with God, and it's not the one that is originated, inspired by the Holy Spirit, it cannot be an exploit that is acceptable to God. So as we look at what kingdom exploit will be, it then means that kingdom exploit will be exploits, things you do for God in righteousness and to promote righteousness. The reason is because the scepter of his kingdom, the Bible says, is the scepter of righteousness. The Bible says, thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness or hated iniquity. Therefore God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above all your fellows. Now, so if you were to pick that scripture, you will see that these three dimensions, they are all around the kingdom. Let's read it. Look at what Hebrews chapter 1 has to say, or if you want to go to Psalm 45, but let me read from Hebrews chapter 1 here. He says in verse 8, but unto the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now look at three things that are together, packaged. He said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness, that is the symbol of your kingdom, symbol of your authority, is the scepter of righteousness. So the entire emblem of the kingdom of God has to do with righteousness. Has to do with righteousness. But now that scripture now says, thou hast loved righteousness and you have hated iniquity. For this cause, for this reason, that's why you see the word therefore. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee. The anointing is dealing with the power of the Holy Spirit, that he has anointed thee with the oil of gladness, joy in the Holy Ghost above all thy fellows. So, brothers, sisters, I want to note quickly that the kingdom of God, his central emblem, is righteousness, is peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Say, thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. Now, when we have come to understand what Jesus will call the kingdom, what then will we do to be seen to be involved in doing exploits for the kingdom of God? And you will permit me to itemize it very simply. Now, the first thing was that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the embodiment of God's kingdom. And anyone who is going to be in the kingdom must first and foremost have a personal encounter with the King of the kingdom. You cannot be in his kingdom and you have not had an encounter with him. And you have not had a life-changing encounter with the Lord himself. Actually, when God takes a man from the power of sin, he translates him into the kingdom of his dear son. So when Jesus Christ was confronting Nicodemus, he was saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, let me not deceive you. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But this man was very religious. This man will fast 2 times a week. He prays at least 3 times a day. And any scripture you quote from the Old Testament, they were all in his fingertips, on his fingertips. And yet Jesus was telling that, no, it's not about all of that. It's about the species of life you carry. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and they cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So don't be surprised that I say unto you, you must be born again. Now, you cannot do exploit for the kingdom of God if your life is not congruent with the King of the kingdom. And this is very critical for us. There is no way you can do anything that is acceptable to God if your own life is at loggerhead with the King of the kingdom. You cannot be serving his kingdom when your own very life is antagonistic to him. So anyone who wants to do anything for God, anyone who wants to be part of God's kingdom at all, Jesus was very emphatic. Verily, verily, I say to you, or most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you are not in the kingdom, you are not in the kingdom. Unfortunately, you may be in church. Many people have come to Christianity, but they have not come to Christ. Many people have come to church meetings, but they have not come to the Lord of the church. A lot of people have a lot of social connection with people here and there, but they have no vital living connection with the Lord. They are not connected with the head of the kingdom. So permit me to say, the first requirement, and this requirement, I wish you take it very seriously. It is not about anything else. It's about the very life that is compatible with the kingdom of God. It has to be a new creation life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, if a man does not have that life, the Bible says he is none of his. But when you read Colossians chapter 1, he said, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet, or who has qualified us to be partakers. Let me read that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and verse 13. You will see what it says. Colossians 1, 12, 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. Other versions say, which has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, my dear brother, sister, the first thing is that when God transfers you, translates you, he takes you out, he uproots you from the power of darkness and translates you into the kingdom of his dear Son. So you can see that for any man to be part of the kingdom and for him to be able to do any exploit in the kingdom of God, this thing must have happened to him. He has to be made a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. You must be delivered from the power of darkness and be translated, transferred, or conveyed into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That would be the first issue to check with you. Have you been translated from the domain, from the jurisdiction of darkness, and you have been conveyed, you have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son? Is your place in the kingdom of darkness now vacant because you have been uprooted, you have been taken out, you are being rescued? In fact, the way another version put it said, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has rescued us. The word rescue means he has snatched us by force from the kingdom of darkness. The reason is because the power of darkness, the power of hell, they don't want to release you. They don't want you to move. They don't want you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. They don't want you to be part of the kingdom. And yet, to be part of the kingdom, something must have happened to your life. You must have been transferred, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, because the emblem of the kingdom of God is righteousness, the book of 1 John again began to speak about that. And 1 John chapter 3, let me refer you to that again. All I'm doing tonight is just to establish what's the kingdom and what will constitute exploits in kingdom, the exploits for the kingdom of God. Now, 1 John chapter 3, 1 John and chapter 3, you will see how the word of God was setting things out there. He said, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him, look at that now, in him there is no sin. Whatsoever abides in him, whosoever abides in him, whosoever is within in him, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither know him. So, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, and even as he is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever, now look at that now, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now look at verse 10, all of you please. He now say, in this, please take note of that. He said, in this, you will notice that this is T-H-I-S, one thing. In this, not in this. A lot of people think there are many things by which you know who is in the kingdom of God or who is a child of God and all of that. No, there are not too many things. Just in this one thing, the kingdom of God, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever, and look at the word whosoever, whosoever means whosoever, am I right? Whosoever means anybody at all, whether highly educated or not educated, whether rich or poor, whosoever does not doeth not righteousness is not of God. It's not of God. It's not in the kingdom. It doesn't matter who he is. Doesn't matter what we call him. Doesn't matter how we address him. It doesn't matter the title he has. Whosoever. Whosoever is committing sins of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now go to that verse 10 again. In this, brothers and sisters, if the word of God is not explicit, you may be thinking there are gray areas. There's no gray area in this matter. In this matter, it's simple, it's clear, it's direct. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brethren. And you see, that is the message. Said, this is the message that we heard from the beginning. There's no need to change it. You cannot edit this away and think you are in the kingdom of God. Whosoever is explaining it and talking it and twisting it around, he is not serious. He's simply playing with your own destiny. He doesn't want you to have a space to do anything serious in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to stop at this and now take one illustration of one young man who did exploits for the kingdom of God. And I want to deal with his case very quickly so that as I'll be praying, there are two issues we're going to pray about tonight. First and foremost is to be ensured that you are established in the kingdom, and that you have had a living, a vital, a functional encounter with the King of the kingdom. And that because the scepter of his kingdom is the scepter of righteousness, Actually, because he loves righteousness and hates iniquity. That is why God has anointed him with the oil of gladness above all his fellows. Now, you cannot, my brother and sister, want to do exploits for the kingdom of God if you do not, on your own, love righteousness. And if you do not, on your own, hate iniquity. That is to say, if there is a space in your heart that condones sin, that condones iniquity, the first thing is that, according to Scripture, in him there is no sin. In Christ Jesus, actually there is no sin to sin. Anybody that wants to sin, let's quickly take note of it now. He has to take excuse and say, Lord Jesus, that is, if he had been in before, and he said, there's something in you that I want to do, but I can't see it. There's something I want to do, but as I sat through and sat through, that it's not inside you, and I need to do that thing. Can I go out? You cannot be committing sin in Christ Jesus, because in him there is no sin to sin. When you want to sin, the first thing you do, you go out. Please permit me to tell you, there is no sinner in Christ Jesus, because there is no sin to sin inside him. Whenever you see anybody going to sin, he has left him. He has gone outside. And if the door is shut, the door will be shut with that man outside. Because you are not in Christ and sin. They don't go together. So when he began to preach, the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is here, you will notice that the first word is repent, for the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. It is because the kingdom is not compatible with sin. The kingdom is righteousness. The kingdom is not eating, it's not drinking, it's not dancing, not jumping up and down. Even though, listen to me, when the joy of the Holy Ghost breaks forth in a man who is in the kingdom of God, he will rejoice, he will sing, he will praise God, there will be so much liberty of the Spirit. But we know that those are not the issues. They are only they are just attachment. The reality is that this man is said, you know what Jesus said, seek you first what? The kingdom of God and its righteousness. All other things will be added to you. Now, you will see that all the time, the kingdom of God, his first emblem is righteousness. So now, one young man did exploit for God, and the Bible will not want us to forget his name. And if I'm recommending to you tonight about kingdom exploits, I would like to speak about that very briefly to you. Now, in Numbers, if you have your Bibles, or if they can flash it for us on the screen, Numbers in chapter 25, Numbers 25, that's where this young man's life came out. And it came out in a very, very serious context. And I want to just read it because we don't have the time. I will simply bring it out, and then I'll leave you to ask you whether you want to be part of kingdom exploits, whether you want your life to contribute to the exploits that we will say are the exploits for the kingdom. Now, in that chapter 25, we're told that Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto sacrifices of their gods. And the people did it and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Verse 4 now. And the children, and the Lord said to Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal-peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed for the children of Israel. Now, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has torn my rod away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore I say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now, I want to stop at that. Now, what is the matter? When Balak had sought every occasion to see how the children of Israel could be conquered, and he went and looked for Balaam from chapter 22, chapter 23, chapter 24, to see whether Balaam can curse the people of God. And Balaam could not. And he gave several reasons why he could not. And I want you to see why he could not. In chapter 23 and in verse 8, Balaam said, how shall I curse whom God has not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of which people? Of the righteous. And let my last end be like his. Now, this man said, how can I curse a man whom God has not cursed? If God has not cursed a man, you can't curse him. If God be for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? If God has not seen anything in a man as to turn his eyes away from him, can you do anything? Can you resist a man whom God is assisting? So that's why the victory that comes to the men of the kingdom, it comes because God and themselves, they are in league, they are in relationship, they are having a right standing with God. So Balaam said, who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. But unfortunately, Balaam did not die the death of the righteous. Because it's only the righteous that can die the death of the righteous. If you are not living in righteousness, let nobody deceive you. The Bible says, he who does righteousness is righteous. There's no other way to claim that, yes, I'm in the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, and you are not living in righteousness. If you are not practicing righteousness, we cannot say you are righteous. Yes, you say, but I'm righteous by faith. That's okay. Let me now inform you that when Jesus Christ justifies a man, he gives him power, he gives him capacity, he gives him the grace to say no to sin. Because you cannot dwell, you cannot be part of the kingdom of God, and you are living in sin. So now, when Balaam could not cause the people, go to chapter 23 furthermore, and see what he said. In verse 23, Numbers 23:23, are you there? He says, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what has God done? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. Why? Why? If you now read verse 20 and 21, you will see it now. He said, behold, I have received commandment to bless. And he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I cannot reverse it. For he has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord is God, is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. As long as the Lord has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, and he has not seen perverseness in Israel, there's nothing you can do to pull him down. There's nothing you can do to curse him. There's nothing you can do to make any enchantment or any divination or anything against him, because his God is with him. So Balaam was telling Balak and say, sir, you can't curse them because God has not cursed them. You cannot pull them down because God has not beheld any iniquity in them. And that is the issue. So Balaam was telling Balak that, but the only way you can conquer these people is only one. You don't need to shoot a gun. You don't need to bring a cudgel. You don't need to do anything. You only need to introduce iniquity into their lives. If their God can see iniquity in their lives, it will turn away. Because he hates iniquity. His eye cannot behold it. So, what was the issue here? When Balaam was going, told Balak, said, well, if you want to conquer Israel, only one thing you will do. Put sin in their life. That's all. That's all. And don't you have daughters? He said, if you have daughters, daughters of Moab, daughters of Midian, organize them. Let them dress up naked. Let them be sexy. And let them go to the riverside bathing naked. Let them invite the children of Israel's men there to come and to their birthday party and all of that. And when they come, the food that you have offered to your idols, give to them. You will soon see them, they will dancing, jumping and all of that, and something will happen. And as soon as they did, the Bible said the children of Israel began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. That was enough for God to turn his eyes away, because if you are in God's kingdom, it has to be righteousness. If you are in God's kingdom, there's no other way. You have to walk in righteousness. If you are not walking in righteousness, then you are not going far with God. So as soon as these people began to commit sin, commit whoredom and all of that, the presence of God left them. The anger of the Lord rose against them, and the Bible says, in one day, 24,000. 24,000 men fell They died because God now has seen iniquity in Jacob. Now, how could you stop it? What kind of exploit you will do that will establish the kingdom of God? Phinehas stood up and said, I'm going to deal with sin. So he carried his javelin. Because one young man just came in with one of the girls from Midian misbehaving. While others were crying, while God is already so angry with the nation, and 24,000 were dead. This young man was just moving about with a Midianitish woman. And so Brother Phinehas ran after them and carried the javelin and pierced their lives down, both the man and the woman. And as soon as God saw that, God said, now Phinehas has turned my anger from the people. I'm no more going to kill them. Because this man, by his zeal, he has atoned for the sin of Israel. Now, who is it that will do kingdom exploits? That's the first thing I want to raise. Number one, first and foremost, you are in league, you are in covenant relationship with the King of the kingdom. Jesus Christ, who is the King of the kingdom, with the scepter of righteousness in his hand, has come into your life, has delivered you from iniquity, has translated you from the power of darkness, and has brought into the kingdom of his dear son in the light. You are living right. Sin is no longer part of your story. You have said bye-bye to sin because you now want to walk with God. Now, but what's the second issue that I'm raising here? Phinehas was zealous enough. Phinehas was deliberate as to, you know, fight to see righteousness prevail. He fought to see righteousness prevail in the land. Now, what will be kingdom exploits? Just as a general introduction for tonight, before you rise up with me to pray. First, that you are in right alignment with the King of the kingdom. How will you be in right alignment with him? It is that every matter of sin, you no longer, you have also come to hate iniquity. You have come to love righteousness. You've come to love a right standing with God. You've come to embrace a life that is saying, Lord Jesus, nothing will come between me and you. That's the first thing. Even if you did not do anything else for God, but you are standing and standing right with God and saying no to sin, you're already doing an exploit which you may not be able to define. Because when the devil sees any man who is saying no to sin and is moving with Jesus, it's like you are throwing a dagger. You are throwing a dagger to the kingdom of darkness. You are pointing to Satan that you are a failure as far as I'm concerned. You are a failure as far as my life is concerned. I am no more a captive that you can manipulate anywhere. That alone, brother, is an exploit. That alone, my dear sister, is an exploit. Before I talk of anything else, let me ask you, are you yourself becoming an exploit for God's kingdom? Because you are saying no to sin. You are letting the grace of God in your life operate to the point that you can say no to sin, no to sin, no to sin. But can I inform you that when, even though you sing with us in fellowship and all of that, but in the secret, you are practicing sin. Or Satan comes and just push you down. And you know what you are doing? You are destroying the kingdom. You are making God's kingdom to lose. You are becoming unprofitable to the kingdom of God because Satan is capitalizing on your own instability to come and assault our God. Every time a man who is supposed to be a child of God go secretly to be compromising, to live in sin. It is not just that you are sinning that is the matter. You are giving an occasion to the enemy to blaspheme. You are giving him a mouth to speak against our God. Actually, you are doing exploit for the devil. So when David went to sleep with Uriah's wife, you know, what pained God was that he said, oh my God, and you, by this, you have given occasion, you have given occasion for the enemy to blaspheme and to reproach our God. Why did you do this? So my first point is that doing kingdom exploit, number one, you must live in righteousness. Your life must be constantly saying no, no, no to sin. And as you are doing that, it's as if you are throwing a dagger unto the enemy. You are throwing a dagger. You are reminding the devil that he lost it. He lost it. He lost it. But anytime you go down that road and you compromise and you live in sin, you have also not only just lived in sin, not just that you committed sin alone, that's the matter, you have also given the devil some leverage of advancement. You give him a leverage of advancement, as if you have helped him to extend his kingdom a little longer, further. And you have shrunk the kingdom of God in a particular measure. If you see like that, so I would like to say my first exploit to do for God and for his kingdom is to stand. Is to stand. Is to stand right. Is to stand with the breastplate of righteousness on my chest every time. The Bible says that, look, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6 says, for our battle is not against human beings, but we fight against principalities and powers and all of that. He now said, when you have done all, stand. You're standing for God. You're standing for righteousness. It's already an exploit. I will deal with other things when we come back tomorrow by the grace of God. Now, but Phinehas, what did he do? Here was a man that could not tolerate wickedness. Here is a man that cannot be there and look away when wickedness or iniquity is being practiced. He ran after them. He ran after them and said, no, you can't do that here. And for that, what could have destroyed the nation of Israel was stopped. As I stop here, brothers and sisters, and I want to put it to you, are you in the kingdom of God? For the kingdom of God is not drinking, it's not dancing, it's not eating, it's not sitting down, rising up to play, stand up, sit down, clap your hand, raise your hand. That's not the essence of the kingdom. The essence of the kingdom is righteousness. Righteousness. If we do not live in righteousness, and if we do not practice righteousness, and preach righteousness, and pursue righteousness, and defend righteousness, and go to confront unrighteousness, then I cannot say you are doing exploit for God. The Bible says, he who serves Christ in these matters, in these things, is the one that is acceptable to God and is approved of men. He who serves Christ in these things. He who serves Christ first in righteousness. I'll deal with other dimension of doing exploit for God. But today, will you first of all become an exploit for God and say, Father, let my life be a kingdom exploit. A life that is constantly standing victoriously against sin, against the devil, against the world system, is already an exploit for God. It's already one that is bringing about the manifestation of the power of God. Now, as we pray together, and as we are looking forward, you know, we celebrate this in the first year of the existence of this work, and we thank God for several things that God has been doing. But today, as we look forward, if you are going to be part of the kingdom exploits, because the kingdom of God is righteousness, I'd like to put it to you now. Where are you in this matter? Where are you in this matter? Are you in and out? Or have you said bye-bye to the life of sin? Have you embraced righteousness? Have you experienced that translation from the power, from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son? Have you experienced the life of righteousness? He said, little children, nobody must deceive you. He who is righteous, he who practices righteousness is righteous. And he who is committing sin is of the devil. This is what the devil has always done from the beginning. And this is the reason why the Son of God is made manifest. So Jesus stands here now and says, yes, kingdom exploits. Who wants to be part of that? Who themselves want to be an expression of that exploit? Who want to be an emblem of that kingdom exploit? Whose life is standing and say, Lord, count on this life, count on my life. I want to love righteousness. I want to hate iniquity. For thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all your fellows. As we pray together, I'd like you to please join me in prayer. If it's possible for you, the Holy Spirit is going to be moving in our congregation. God is going to be touching people differently. He's walking about, but the question is asking for today. The kingdom of God is not eating, it's not drinking, it's not dancing, it's not jumping up and down. Whereas all of those things, they are all right, but they are not the issue. They are not essential. What is essential is righteousness. Righteousness, peace with God, joy in the Holy Ghost. You cannot have joy when you are not living right with God. You cannot have peace if there is no purity in your life. You cannot have power of the Spirit of God to do great exploits for God if righteousness is lacking. Permit me to ask you to please pray in these few minutes and call on God before I hand over to our senior pastor. We conclude this meeting tonight. Would you like to just talk to God for yourself? Would you like to say, oh God, my first cry tonight is make me an expression of the kingdom exploit. Make my life itself an exploit for God. Make me an exploit. Samson was born to be an exploit for God and to do exploit for the kingdom and to do exploit against the Philistines. Unfortunately, when he dabbled into sin, when he broke his consecration, rather than do exploit for God, he became an exhibit. He became a spoil in the hand of the enemy. And they were using him to ridicule the name of the Lord until God came to rescue him again. This night I want you to pray, Lord, make my life an exploit for the kingdom. I know what your heart will have wanted me to talk about, doing exploit. We will talk about that. But only those whose life is an exploit for God can do exploit for God's kingdom. If my life itself is not already an exploit, if I have not become a gain to the kingdom of God and a loss to the kingdom of darkness, then I can't go out to do anything else. So tonight, are you pray and say, Lord, I can't be living and I will be a source of disgrace to your name. I can't be scoring goals for the devil with my own instability of life. Help me tonight do something in my heart. Jesus is standing there and saying, yes, you are going to be part of my kingdom exploit. You are going to be an expression of this exploit. That's why I'm rescuing you. I want to take you from the power of darkness. I want to translate you. I want to translate into my kingdom and the emblem of it will be righteousness. Will you like to pray and say, Lord, here am I. Help me. As we are praying, please feel free right now. You may stand on your feet as we are calling on God. But two things I want you to do. Check within your heart. Am I at peace with the King of the kingdom? Is my life congruent with his will? Am I in right standing with him? Is the scepter of his kingdom, which is the scepter of righteousness, can it be laid on my life as well? Do I love righteousness? Do I hate iniquity? Am I just playing about? It's not that I hated sin with all my heart. Can you call on God? And Jesus is saying, yes, it is for this reason I have brought you here again. I have come that you may have this translation experience. I want to move you out of the shackles of darkness. I want to take you away from the shackles of sin. I want you not all right. People think that you are up there, but you know you are down here. You know it. People think that, well, that sister is a jinjin sister and she's doing well. But you know that you are perforated inside. You are deflated inside. And the Holy Spirit is saying, yes, you won't be an exploit for me if you are already spoiled. If Satan has already spoiled your life and is using you as a spoil, you won't be able to be an exploit. But come unto me, I'll give you rest. Come unto me, I will cleanse you. I will give you a new beginning. That's what he wants to do. Please lift up your right hand wherever you are and let me call on God on your behalf. And if you want to take it further, because I'll be asking our pastors that are on ground to help me step forward their hands towards you and perhaps even lay hands on some of you that are needing a help, that the touch of the Almighty will make your life right from this evening. Would you like to pray? Would you like to step out your hand? Would you like to say, Lord, let this meeting mark a turning point for me. Let me not just be tagging along. Make me a kingdom exploit myself. Let Satan see me an exploit. He said, God, this boy has damaged my kingdom because everything I thought I would do to pull him down, he has refused. Oh, I'm praying that that will happen to you. I'm praying that you will become a man that gives serious headache to Satan. That Satan can no longer be happy when he sees your life because God has taken over and you are a different man now. God bless you. Where are you? Just lift those hands up and as we pray together, the Lord will undertake for us. Let's pray. Let's pray right away. Holy Spirit, thank you for this moment and thank you for your children as they are taking their decision, as they are knocking on each heart from row to row, as they are saying, tonight is a night that I have ordained to translate you, to uproot you from the power of darkness, and to take you into the kingdom of my dear son, where the emblem is victory, the emblem is righteousness. Oh God, I ask that you are moving about like that. All the hearts that are yielding to you and saying yes to you, lay hands on them right away. And God, as you did before, you will do it again. Do it again, oh God. Uproot, break the shackles of sin. Translate these people into the kingdom of your dear son. Lord, I ask that the blood of Jesus, the blood of redemption, we speak on their behalf right now, and that every stain, let it be dissolved in the blood of the Lamb. Every accusing finger of Satan, let it be put aside, because all that was contrary to us, you took it out of the way, and you nailed it to the cross. Lord, I ask that this evening, such a clear beginning, such a clear exploit, must be carried out in our souls, in our lives, and let Christ take preeminence from this moment in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. Thank you because we do beyond what we could ask or imagine, according to your riches and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed.
This has been Living Seed. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198, email address lsmedia@livingseed.org, or visit our website at www.livingseed.org.